Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe, and it's Waiver Wednesday once again. Joining me today is Michael Jones from FootballDiehards.com. Michael, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Ready to get after it again this week. I know a lot of big buys this week, especially with some of the biggest quarterbacks on the planet are going to be sitting out this week, and so we got definitely have some work to do.
I know. We got Jay Cutler, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers all on the bye this week. People are shaking their heads, not knowing what to do. Want to get into the waiver wire, but I also want to talk about a little bit of the news that's been breaking over the past couple of days. First of all, I want to talk about Braylon Edwards. Been in the news a lot earlier this week, was involved in a scuffle, and now it looks like he's going to be a Jet. Break down what's gone on with Braylon Edwards over the past couple of days.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, you don't want your star players out putting themselves in positions like that in the backs of nightclubs, scuffling either with them by themselves or with your entourage. And it's just, you would think these guys would have learned from Plaxico Burress not to put themselves in these kind of situations. And so, you know, what better place to have Braylon Edwards, who, you know, wants to be more of a celebrity than a football player, to put him into a place like New York. You know, well, we talked about Mario Manningham, the bars close at 5 a.m., and great situation that is for him. And I'm really kind of confused with what the Jets are thinking. I know that they're trying to make a move to put a premier playmaker in their offense. How he's going to work with the chemistry with Jerrel Kakotri and Dustin Keller and some really nice high-character parts on that offense and on that team personally. That's to be seen, but I think that they definitely have the right head coach to manage Braylon Edwards, and if he can't show up and play, kudos to the Jets.
Now, were the Jets already in discussions to maybe get Braylon, or did this come out after the fight? Do you even really know? I mean, this timing would be kind of coincidental if it was already in motion.
Well, I know that the Browns have been trying to move Braylon Edwards. I don't think Braylon Edwards is really a Mangini / Belichick kind of guy. / McDaniel / Pioli, that whole Belichick kind of tree that doesn't really care for players too much, like Braylon Edwards, who, again, are more interested in probably their Twitter account than their, actual production on the field. But, that they tried to move him to the Giants. I did not see Tom Coughlin being too high on and having Braylon Edwards come in there. And so, again, this is a team, the Jets, who feel that they just are a piece away from being able to make a move into the upper echelon. They definitely have the defense, and it's just about getting more playmakers on offense. And they felt that adding Braylon Edwards and putting him next to a player like Jerrel Kakotri and Dustin Keller is going to, draw more attention from the defense and help everybody all around. And, again, it's just going to be whether he can be a good player for the chemistry and in the locker room because football is the consummate, obviously, team game.
And by all accounts, it looks like he is also going to get his start against the Dolphins on Monday night, making his Jets debut. Also want to mention the news that broke a little earlier is Michael Crabtree has finally agreed to terms on a contract with the 49ers. Obviously good for San Francisco. Is he still going to be able to be implemented there quickly, you think?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And I think he's going to be well-served to spend a year learning from a great pro like Isaac Bruce on how to become a professional NFL wide receiver. And this is basically a signing for the future, much like how the Bengals signed Andre Smith. They knew, Andre Smith is out of shape. Obviously, right away, he hurts his foot. And I think the Bengals knew that Andre Smith wasn't going to be in training camp. He wasn't going to get the reps with the offense. He wasn't going to be in shape, and that they're basically signing his talent. You're getting his talent on board for the future, and so they can spend the next year coaching him up. And I think the same thing can be with Michael Crabtree. The guy can play the position, but look at how many, outside of Wes Welker, how many Texas Tech offensive pieces have ever succeeded in the NFL?
I probably couldn't even name them on one hand.
So, you've had the Graham Harrells, and you've had all these guys who have put up these prolific numbers,
yeah.
But that they have not translated into the NFL scheme. So, yeah. But, you know, Michael Crabtree has the size. He's got the speed. He's obviously an awesome playmaker. And, you know, as a 49er fan, I was super excited on draft day that they were able to get him. And then we, you know, really found out that him and his posse, you know, were going to really cause a lot of issues, and that, you know, his agent, Eugene Parker, known for holding out. And so that, you know, the 49ers could have maybe done a little bit more homework on him. And I personally wish that they had taken Michael Orr, who ended up dropping to the Baltimore Ravens. So that's obviously past history now. And so that, we'll see what happens with Crabtree. He's obviously an immense talent. It's just a matter of where his head is at going forward. And again, I'm hoping that he takes some time and learns from a great player like Isaac Bruce and, you know, gets coached up from a very good coaching staff there in San Francisco.
It's all about the Benjamins, as you know. Also, some news is that it looks like Darren McFadden is going to probably miss 2 to 4 weeks with a torn meniscus. So looks like pretty much anybody on the Oakland team is not going to be getting you any sort of productivity. He had been pretty much agreed upon as the one player on the Raiders who you could have on your team to get any points from. Anybody going to be able to step into that role, you think?
Well, I mean, they've been averaging 155 total yards a game in the last three games, so I don't know how much worse they could really get. You know, Zach Miller's been a, you know, fairly reasonable option from a fantasy standpoint. If you've got punters in your league, Shane Lechler is probably the best there is. So for the Raiders, for some reason, the Raiders have an amazing kicking game and really not much else. But, you know. Yeah, I made that joke yesterday. Jamarcus Russell's 39% per completion percentage is only matched by his 39% body fat weight. You know, so
yeah.
They really have a lot of issues there. But you know, this team needs a bunch of coaching up. They need to bring a coach in that can, you know, coach the offense. And the whole team just needs a lot of coaching up. There's talent there. It just needs a lot of coaching up. And I think that I would love to see Michael Bush emerge there. He's got the talent, but if you look at Houston, the game last week, it was Justin Fargas who got 11 touches, and Bush was only given 4, and so Fargas was the feature back last year, and I would have to imagine that going forward, it'll be Fargas stepping in with Bush again playing the complementary role.
All right. Also, too, want to go ahead and get some updates on some quarterbacks who are questionable or at least injured. Looking ahead to the weekend, first of all, Matt Stafford up in Detroit. His knee has been giving him some issues. How likely do you think it is that he's going to be able to play this weekend?
I would say 0%. I mean, this is your franchise quarterback, and his kneecap, I believe, popped out, dislocated on the play.
Dislocated kneecap, yeah.
Yeah, so there is absolutely no reason to rush him back against Pittsburgh.
It's going to be difficult to win no matter who you have under center, basically.
Well, yeah, let Dante Culpepper get in there and earn his paycheck and get punched in the mouth a couple times, and Stafford can sit back and watch and get healed up, and I see no reason for them to rush Stafford back, and so I obviously, being the fantasy football expert that I am, I'm going to make sure I recommend everybody to start the Pittsburgh defense against the Detroit Lions this week.
All right, too. Moving on to Eli Manning, too. It looks like he has plantar fasciitis. Has been cleared to play this weekend if he can stand the pain. It looks like he's going to try to. How much do you expect this to affect his performance?
Well, as long as he can just throw the ball to the sideline to Hakeem Nicks and have Hakeem Nicks run 54 yards for a touchdown a couple times a game, he should do pretty fine, which is basically what Eli was able to do once he encountered the injury. But, you know, he comes from such a tough family. I mean, Archie Manning was probably one of the toughest quarterbacks to ever play the game, you know, played behind a woeful New Orleans Saints offense and ran for his life for basically 10 years in the NFL and still, you know, was one of the most revered, you know, figures in NFL history. And obviously Peyton has never missed a game. And so, you know, Eli has got a lot to live up to. He'll shoot that thing up. He'll shoot it up again at halftime. He'll play through the pain and the Giants should keep on rolling.
He's going to shoot his foot out? They've got a foot steroid these days too?
Say again, they do what now?
Oh, I thought you were talking like a football style, shooting it up with steroids or cortisone or whatever in his foot.
Yeah, well, a painkiller. Sure.
A painkiller. All right.
There's
also,
no doubt. Yeah, every player, you know, is injured. It's just a matter of how is in incredible pain. I mean, if you ever just played a game of tackle football with your buddies, you woke up the next day half paralyzed.
You got to pop a couple of leave the next day.
Yeah, so I'd have to imagine that most NFL players are dealing with pain management on a consistent basis.
Finally, too, in Seattle, Matt Hasselbeck, it looks like he has a broken rib. What's the likelihood you think he's going to get the start this weekend?
Well, you know, I think he's going to give it – he wants to give it the old college try, and they kind of need to. They need to keep pace or they're going to fall out of this division. They're facing a pretty tough task against Jacksonville this week. But so far, the reports are not positive. And they are playing at home. It looks like I would have to imagine that Seneca Wallace is going to get another start. I believe they have a bye week 6, and so or is it 6 or 7? And so there's a lot of reports coming out that Hasselbeck will be back after the bye. And I'll just check that as I pull out my handy dandy schedule. Yeah, they have a bye at week 7. So there's some words. You know, they've got a division game at home against Arizona week six, and to me that would make a lot more sense to have Hasselbeck back healthy playing a big division game against Arizona week 6.
All right, now I want to turn the attention over to the waiver wire. As we mentioned earlier, the team's having a bye this week, Chicago, Green Bay, New Orleans, San Diego, so be mindful of that as you guys are looking to set your lineups this week. But as far as quarterbacks, who's on your radar for this week, Mike?
And again, you know, in setting your lineups too, I always recommend, especially once the bye weeks hit, that you're in there, you're checking your final score from the week before. You know, hopefully you won, lost, whatever, and that's usually going to happen on Monday. You know, go ahead when you're right there, the schedule is flipped over, go ahead and set your lineup for the next week right there. You know, while you're in there looking at the scores, go in there and just go ahead and set your lineup, set an early lineup on Monday, and then that way you don't have any surprises, and you don't check your lineup on Thursday and go, wow, you know, let me see who I should get in there, and find out that you got 3 people on bye, and now you're trying to scurry to try to find some leftovers on the waiver wire. So I always recommend, you know, Monday, Tuesday, the latest, be setting your lineups for the upcoming week. But this week, the big name on the waiver wires, on most waiver wires, Derek Anderson put up a very decent game against Cincinnati, and looks like he's going to have the job for the foreseeable future for the Browns. And they have a great matchup this week. Buffalo is really struggling right now. They have a bunch of injuries in the secondary. Paul Posluszny, their star middle linebacker, is out for the season, and they've given up over 200 yards rushing in back-to-back games. And, you know, the offense is reeling, and they are a much better team at home. But, obviously the elements should come into play to a degree. But Anderson going forward looks like he's going to be a very decent play. You know, they've got Pittsburgh coming up very nearby, Green Bay, Chicago, and then Baltimore again. But they've got Detroit and Cincinnati weeks 11 and 12. And then they come down the stretch 15, 16, and 17 against Kansas City, Oakland, and Jacksonville. Some very good matchups. And so as a backup quarterback, Derek Anderson is definitely one of our top buys this week. And the other one, if you just need if Derek Anderson's already gone, a lot of people have given up on Jake DeLhomme. But the one thing about Jake DeLhomme that you're going to get is just a steady veteran. You know he's not going to lose his job, and Matt Moore backs him up. And the guy, you know, has the locker room there in Carolina, and they should continue to improve. They're coming off a bye week. They're going playing at home against Washington. Washington is definitely reeling. And I like Jake DeLhomme as a matchup play this week. I think they're going to get the offense should get untracked. And then there's a couple first-time starters last week, Josh Johnson with Tampa Bay, Chad Henne with Miami. Miami just, you know, they didn't throw the ball at all. I believe it was only about 22 times. And the main thing there was that they just ran the ball 45 times, 350 yards. And so I don't see any reason that they're not going to continue to just try to protect Henne until he's really got his sea legs against them. Under him, and they play the Jets this week, and that's going to be a really tough matchup. And same with Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson, I say, you know, looked really good. He threw some good balls. Definitely looked like a first-time starter. Made a couple of mistakes, but the nice thing about Josh Johnson is he runs the ball very effectively. Ran it seven times for 41 yards, which is always nice to have those little extra points to your fantasy total. But it's probably not someone you're going to run out and be able to feel too comfortable starting right away. And then lastly, the couple names we threw out there. are some people just to kind of keep an eye on, especially if you own the starters for these teams. But David Carr with the New York Giants, Mark Brunell with New Orleans, and especially Vince Young with Tennessee. In the Tennessee situation, it is looking extremely bleak right now. Kerry Collins is just looks like he's aged 10 years in the first four games of the season. And they've got Indianapolis and New England coming up. That looks like an 0-6 start to me, unless they can just somehow pound Indianapolis with a running game. And they usually play Indianapolis pretty tough, but their secondary, Titans secondary is just so decimated right now with injuries. It looks like Peyton Manning going home to Tennessee should just be able to pick them apart. And so there's a very realistic chance they're going to be 0-6 going into their Week 7 bye. And at that point, I don't see any reason they're not going to go ahead and go with Vince Young. And finally, we talked about Mark Brunell. And Mark Brunell looked great in the preseason and was hitting, throwing the long ball really well. He looked like he had, as Kerry Collins has aged 10 years, Mark Brunell looked like he'd lost about 10 years. And he looked young. He looked vibrant. He was moving around the pocket. He was hitting all his receivers. Granted, it was preseason, but he had a spring in his step. And if you own Drew Brees and you got the spot open, I would want to keep my foot on the New Orleans passing game and make sure I have Mark Brunell as a kind of a stash away.
All right, turning our attention to the running backs, some big names on the list. You may have heard of LaDainian Tomlinson, Reggie Bush, Matt Forte. We also got Ryan Grant and Pierre Thomas. So if you have any of those players on your team, take a look at what else is out there. Who's on your radar for right now, Michael?
Well, the top name, obviously, out there, Jerome Harrison. You know, Cleveland is going to be, you know, has been so, started off so horribly that almost all these skill position players are out on the waiver wire because no one would even think of touching them. And then they got Derek Anderson in there, and they inserted Jerome Harrison in, a running back. And, looks like another name that's on the list is Muhammad Massaquoi. And these young players have kind of stepped up and brought a spark to this team. And Harrison, you know, has always been a player that I've always liked and to just waited for him to get his opportunity, always shine in the preseason, always coaching staff saying, yeah, we want to get him more involved. And for one reason or another, Jamal Lewis has been there, and he just never really has been given the chance. But as we talked about, I believe, in last week, that, and I've always talked about him, and it's always a point that I've always wanted to, felt worthy of making, that the year that Reggie Bush was the, you know, all-world running back at USC, that it was Jerome Harrison at Washington State that was the Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year. So a lot of talent there. He's shown that he could carry the load, at least in college. And last week, you know, given 34 touches by Mangini in their offense there against the Bengals, which, you know, definitely concerns me. We talked about that earlier with Mike Bell when we said, sure, Mike Bell looks like he's the feature back in New Orleans. You know, he's coming on, but boy, he was given 29-30 touches in his start. And, you know, that is usually a signal that this is not a long-term solution, that they're kind of going to use this guy up for all he's worth until the starter gets back and is playing again. So I'm a little bit concerned there, but the one thing is, if you're just doing a plug and play, that, you know, Jerome Harrison is going to be facing Buffalo, and we've talked about before, they've given a back-to-back 200-yard games, 250 yards to Miami last week, and that Jerome Harrison, for a plug and play, catches the ball great out of the backfield, had 7 targets for 5 catches this past week, and is always reliable in that way, showed he can pick up some yards, had more than 100 yards rushing this past week, so Jerome Harrison is definitely the top name on the list this week.
All right. To also want to go ahead and get to some of the wide receivers out there. Obviously, Michael Crabtree showing up on here right now. A lot of people are going to probably pick him up and stash him away. When do you think it's likely that Crabtree might actually see some gameplay?
You know, that's a good question. He should have an idea of the offense. If he hasn't been, at least had his, you know, he should have had his nose in a playbook.
Yeah, hopefully he's watched some of the games.
And he's hopefully watched some of the games. So he shouldn't, you know, I think it's going to be a matter of just his playing readiness as far as his body, if he's NFL ready to contribute. And so I don't think that's going to happen right away. But they do have a bye week this upcoming week, week 6 after the Atlanta game here. And so maybe on the road against Houston, they start slowly working him in. And hopefully they can get him going.
All right. To who else is on the radar for your wide receivers right now?
Well, the name that, you know, came, we talking about Cleveland, Muhammad Massaquoi, 8 catches, 134 yards receiving, and a touchdown this past week on 13 targets. So Derek Anderson, you know, has probably been working as a second-team quarterback and been working with Massaquai on the second team and developed some chemistry with him. And Massaquai has got an NFL body, 6'2", 210. He's, you know, has great measurables, enough measurables that moved him up into the second round, 50th overall pick in the draft, and had some huge games, you know, playing with Matthew Stafford at Georgia. Unfortunately, he would follow those games with one-catch games. You know, his teams would kind of adjust, and he would have definitely would disappear. And that's my biggest concern here is Massaquai, you know, another one of those one-week wonders, or have the Browns really found somebody? And, you know, Massaquai shined in some scrimmages and some preseason games, and they were high on him. They just need to kind of work him in. And as Eric Mangini told him before this game against Cincinnati, he said, it's time to put your big boy pants on now. And so Massaquai did. He went out there, and the Bengals double-teamed Braylon Edwards. They bracketed him, and Massaquai got single coverage, and he produced. And so, but now with Braylon Edwards gone, they're going to be looking at stopping Massaquai. And of course, Cleveland's going to have to want to work in a Brian Robiski also. So it's going to be an interesting situation there in Cleveland. And the other couple names that, you know, we've been talking about, Austin Colley in Indianapolis. And it looks like Colley's just starting to develop a great chemistry with Peyton Manning. He worked hard with Peyton Manning all preseason, working with him after practice and getting a lot of timing down with him. And the main thing about Colley, he had, you know, 7 targets last week. He's always had more targets than Pierre Garçon. He's been getting the catches. Just Garçon's been making the real eye-catching plays. And so this past week, Colley had his first NFL touchdown, nice catch over his head, over the defender. And it just looks like, you know, he had 7 targets this past week for 6 catches, 65 yards. And even when Anthony Gonzalez returns, I believe it's going to be Pierre Garçon that goes back and becomes the fourth wide receiver while Colley stays in the slot. And the other name I want to talk about is Hakeem Nicks. We talked about him a little bit before, and Mario Manningham, as we kind of talked about earlier, is starting to, you know, fade down. He's starting to drop off. He would have been a great sell-high candidate about a week ago. He only caught 1 of his 8 targets this past week, and with Hakeem Nicks, he was a first-round pick, and he's got so much playmaking talent. And it seems like every time they threw the ball to him this preseason, he was scoring a touchdown. And again, they, like I said, they swung the ball out to him out on the edge this past week, and he created a highlight reel play, making the whole defense miss on his run down the field for 54 yards and a just spectacular touchdown. And I've got to think they're going to be working him into the offense sooner rather than later.
Also, we see Josh Morgan showing up on your list, too. San Francisco also has a pretty good matchup going against Atlanta this week. Why else is Josh on your list?
Josh Morgan, when he was on my sleeper list this early season, this preseason, is that we were talking about our sleepers. You know, I had Tim Hightower, Devin Hester, Josh Morgan. We're all, you know, players that I thought you were going to get really good value in the 8th, 9th round, and, you know, Brent Celek in the 11th, 12th round. And Josh Morgan was just a player that I think is starting to get opportunities in San Francisco. Sean Hill is finding him. Now, granted, Morgan has dropped a couple of those. And that's, you know, but the encouraging thing is they keep going to him. And it paid off with even after Morgan dropped a sure about 50-yard touchdown this past week, that they went to him again in a playmaking situation. He caught the ball, made a couple people miss, and scored a very nice touchdown to really put the game away against St. Louis this past week. So Josh Morgan just starting to see the ball in playmaking opportunities. He definitely has the NFL body, and he has long arms. And it seems like in the past, especially in the preseason games, he's been given the opportunity. He's made the big plays. I think he's just going to start to get more comfortable and more comfortable in a role in the NFL in the regular season, and start to blossom in that offense.
All right, on to the tight ends, too. On a bias this week are Olsen, Finley, Shockey, and Gase. We see Mercedes Lewis of Jacksonville and Sean Ryan of Kansas City on your list. Why is that?
Well, one of the players that are on bye is Jermichael Finley, and, you know, if he's out there, he's definitely someone you're going to want to look at picking up, too. Just a monster game this past week against Minnesota. I would imagine a lot of people went ahead and got him picked up already. But Mercedes Lewis, the Jacksonville offense, I watched that game against Tennessee, and I'm just really starting to like what I see from that offense. The whole team is just come together, all kind of out of the blue, especially, you know, Mike Sims-Walker just emerged, and the whole team just really picked up on his energy. and is creating openings for players like Mercedes Lewis and players like Torrey Holt. And, you know, obviously when you have a talent like Maurice Jones-Drew, it's going to open up lanes for the other players on the offense. And Lewis this past week, he's always had troubles with, you know, dropping the balls when it's thrown to him, but he caught four balls on his five targets this past week, 76 yards and a score. And just watching him play, he's becoming a dynamic playmaker in that offense, and Gerard's getting more confidence with him. And with Sean Ryan, he's just a player that if you're looking for a super sleeper, that Sean Ryan really could be in. And I don't know where it's coming from, but it's definitely coming by way Matt Cassel has got a chemistry with him. He's got a confidence with Sean Ryan. Ryan has kind of bounced around the NFL, but if you look at his college career, he ranks second in Boston College history for the most touchdown scored by a tight end in that team's history. So you know he can catch the ball. He was awarded the team's most determined player award, started off as a defensive end there in Boston College. So you know he's got some toughness. You know he's got a motor. And so those are always kind of recipes for success from an NFL football player. And sometimes all that player needs is an opportunity. And it looks like Sean Ryan has gotten that opportunity. He caught four balls for 22 yards against Philadelphia in his first kind of extended opportunity. And this last week, Castle was actually, you know, really looking for him. Threw him ball six times, and Ryan responded, five catches, 58 yards, and a very nice touchdown score. And he almost had another one where he was down at the one-yard line. So Sean Ryan is a player, you know, Kansas City with a long history of a tight end excellence there. Sean Ryan might be the player that's going to pick up and try to run with that tradition.
All right, a few more minutes on the waiver wire today. Now, keep in mind teams on by Chicago, Green Bay, New Orleans, and San Diego. As far as defense goes out there, who can you pick up if you need them?
Well, you know, I didn't looking at the matchups this week, most of the best defenses are really playing teams that they're going to dominate. And so if you have most teams have a number one defense, and I'm not imagining they're really out there looking for that bye week pickup. Specifically, maybe, you know, if you are really looking for something, San Francisco against Atlanta, but Atlanta is a team that doesn't really turn the ball over and is a very smart quarterback and a great running attack, and so I don't look for a lot of turnovers from Atlanta. So Arizona also, you know, against Houston should put the ball in the air, but again, a team like Arizona, they're playing at home. Their defense really does usually very well at home against opposing offenses, but the team that's kind of jumping off everybody is right now is New Orleans, and what they did this past week with the three defensive scores against the New York Jets just out-pressured one of the best pressure defenses of the league, the New York Jets, and everybody's, you know, starting to realize that this the new defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who, you know, Sean Payton went out there and gave, you know, $500,000 of his own dollars to sign Greg Williams and bring on board, realizing that the Saints are just a top defense away from, you know, contending for a league championship. And Greg Williams has come in and brought his, you know, pressure defense that he had in Washington and he had in Buffalo and had a lot of great success with his defenses, and he's gotten the playmakers, and he got a great piece in Darren Sharper in the off season. And New Orleans is a team that is definitely on the rise and a team that most fantasy players have got their eye on. It's hard to break tradition and say, well, the New Orleans Saints are going to be in a number one defense, but there seems to be always a defense every year that surprises everybody. And they do have some good matchups. They got Henny in Miami coming up. They've got the St. Louis Rams coming up. And they've got two games against probably a rookie quarterback in Tampa Bay coming up, including the championship week, which is usually week 16. So New Orleans Saints, even though they're on bye this week, are the team that scoop in and go ahead and pick up as your complimentary defense.
All right. Well, that is the waiver wire for this week. Me and Bob Harris will be back on Friday breaking down all of the final injuries. Also, be sure to keep checking the website and the news and views and also the flash update tomorrow. We will keep you up to date on all of the injuries going on and any other news and notes. Also, check out on the website the new texting feature that they've introduced. Now you can keep up with all of the individual players you want. You can get news and views for your team, or you can just get them all. That's what Bob does. He gets every single one of them. Also, check out the other website we got going on, Fantasy Nation, the Twitter-like website where you can talk back and forth with all the people at footballdiehards.com. Michael, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you again, Skip. Always enjoy it.
Absolutely. And we'll be back again on Friday with the regular Football Diehards Friday podcast with me and Bob Harris. We'll see you on Friday.